world, this is Wichita. The story of Wichita, its people, its progress. The story of your city and mine. This is Wichita. Before we bring you the final episode in the thrilling story of Wichita, we want to invite you to play the entertaining Game of Names, which is sponsored every Sunday evening by the Eagle Classified Ads. You'll find the Game of Names chart in the Sunday Classified Ads section of the Eagle, and you can play the game at home or in the studios of KFH. Visit the new theater studio of KFH. Play Game of Names at 8 o'clock and stay for the studio presentation of your Parlor Playhouse. A half hour of music, song, and drama. Enjoy a full hour of free entertainment as the guests of the Wichita Eagle. Play Game of Names next Sunday night at 8 o'clock. And now the Eagle Concert Orchestra, under the baton of Russell Lowe, brings you El Lalicario by Jose Padilla.
Ask me why I came here. I came to build a city, a beautiful, prosperous city in this fertile valley where two rivers meet.
Those were the words of Colonel Marsh Murdoch in the year 1872 when he and his lovely wife came to the little cow town of Wichita to establish the first important newspaper, the Eagle.
Wichita City? Oh, say, that's a good one. Oh, this flattened-out, jumping-off place to nowhere couldn't be a city in 100 years. This is a prairie dog junction, not a city. That news editor's got a big imagination.
So said numerous rough-and-ready cowboys when they heard of Colonel Marsh Murdoch's ambition. But even as the skeptics laughed, The quiet air of the prairie was being pierced by the shrill cry of the locomotive. The railroad was coming to Wichita. With wonder and rejoicing, the citizens of Wichita in 1872 gathered to watch the first train come rolling into town. It was a day of great celebration for the little cow town of Wichita, and it marked the first big step in the long campaign to establish a metropolis on the prairie. But the appearance of a railroad alone cannot make a prosperous city. A metropolis must have wealthy farmland surrounding it, and there must be money to spend in the merchant's mart. In 1884, the Eagle was writing glowing descriptions of Kansas climate, hoping to encourage more settlers to come into this territory. We find the following description in the Eagle of January 1st, 1874.
Here is a wonderful climate. A climate which exactly meets the requirements of the agriculturalist, whether he be farmer, orchardist, stockman, or shepherd. In the early spring, when the soil is freed from the slender grasp of what little frost it is subject to during the short winter, it is in admirable condition for plowing and preparation of crops. Then comes a season of rain and showers, which lasts into July, when only occasional showers occur to interfere with harvesting operations.
Such glowing descriptions of ideal climate brought many settlers to Wichita. Although the railroad was running regular schedules into this city in 1874, there were still many prairie schooners making the long journey from the crowded cities of the east to the open and bountiful prairie lands of Kansas.
This is our homestead. Think we can make a home out of it?
A home? It sure is dreary land, Abner.
Yeah. It's not much to look at, is it?
No trees and no flowers. No. It's sure empty, lonely, dreary land. Oh, well, maybe we can make something out of it. Maybe we can plant trees and flowers.
Sure. So said many a Kansas pioneer woman as she faced the barren prairies upon which fate asked her to build a home. In almost every issue of the Eagle, there were editorials urging the people to plant trees. Springtime of 1874 saw almost every Wichitan and almost every farmer in the surrounding territory busy planting trees. From the winding banks of the Arkansas River came many cottonwood sprigs, which were carried to the homes of Wichitans. Tiny sprigs that would grow and flourish into the giant cottonwood trees, which are so familiar to every Wichita. It was a bright and hopeful year. 1874, a mild Indian scare only served to add excitement to the lives of the pioneer. But before summer ended, tragedy stared coldly at each man and woman. For some strange reason, the sky refused to yield the precious rain to give the crops and make them grow. Day after day, week after week,
you look up in the sky and you see nothing but sun grinning at you, laughing at you.
Surely the rain will come. Can't believe it. Go on like this, just on and on, day after day, burning and scorching our crops.
Ah, it seems like ain't a breath of air stirring anywhere.
Paul, there's something in the air. Something strange. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I can feel it. I've been feeling it all day.
Listen, Paul. Do you hear it?
What?
That sound.
Yeah, I hear it now.
Sort of humming and buzzing. Paul, maybe it's a cyclone.
Oh, it can't be. That's no cyclone. No cyclone
then,
at all.
Then what is it? What is it?
Well, I don't know. It ain't no thunderhead neither.
But look, the sky's all dark.
Yeah, but it ain't no cloud.
Oh, look. Look down at your feet.
Huh?
At your feet. Look at them. Grasshoppers, they're all over the
place.
Yeah,
look. Rows of them.
Oh, what do we do?
Millions of them. Look at them eat. They're eating our crops. Come on, Ma. We got to get some smudge fire started. We got
to
beat them devils away.
And so, with every ounce of their strength, Wichitans fought this scourge. The worst the town had ever suffered since its incorporation. The scourge of grasshoppers. Millions of immense, ugly, voracious, grain-eating monsters. Grasshoppers eating the grain, the gardens. Yes, even the wood. Grasshoppers stacking high in the fields, in the roads, in the homes. Every man, woman, and child turned out to battle them. Smudge fires were hastily lighted, but the grasshoppers were almost too much for the citizens. For 2 days and nights, these pests destroyed the dreams and hopes of the population. And when they were gone, a tired, discouraged populace sat down to face the dismal picture of destroyed crops and gardens.
Gone? All of it. Not even a leaf left in my garden.
Grain's all gone in the fields. There's nothing to show for all our work.
Well, Pa, maybe next year. Maybe next year it'll get better.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. This, the only hope the pioneer could cling to. Maybe next year. Better luck, better crops. Maybe next year. And as we turn the files of the Eagle, we find the trusting faith of the pioneer rewarded. Next year, crops were better. Conditions all over the United States were improving. The popular song for the year 1876 was "I'll Take You Home Again, Kathleen." The Wichita Eagle printed stories featuring such historic events as
Colorado joins the Union,
Chief Sitting Bull's warriors massacred General Custer and 276 soldiers,
Bell and Gray patented the telephone,
1877,
railroad strikes swept the nation with virtually every major line in a labor battle after 10% wage cuts. Several persons were killed, federal troops had to be called out, and property damage ran into the millions.
Came the year 1878, and James A. Bland wrote the beautiful song, "Carry Me Back to Old Virginia."
The Eagle reported that the first telephone switchboard was installed at New Haven, Connecticut. At this time, there were about 3,000 telephones in the entire nation.
Yellow fever was a scourge during this year, taking thousands of lives despite such home-advised cures as cigars and whiskey.
In 1879, news of Edison's invention of the incandescent lamp caused such a rush of curiosity seekers to Menlo Park, New Jersey, that the Pennsylvania Railroad had to run extra trains.
...1880 welcomed a new era of prosperity. The popular melody of the year was Funiculi Funicula, a gay Neapolitan song to match the gay spirits of Americans. Starting in the year of 1880, a boom in real estate sent Wichita zooming to the heights of dizzy prosperity.
Wichita's boom of the golden 80s.
And we're building a new home. It's going to be real imported Italian marble. Oh, it's so nice to be wealthy. You know, my husband is worth $100,000 now.
Oh, is that so?
Uh-huh.
And just how much is he worth in actual cash?
In cash? Oh, I don't know. No one really thinks in terms of cash now. Everything's on paper. We sold 4 pieces of property yesterday, but there was no exchange of money.
Oh, you poor, misguided fools. And you call that prosperity?
Only a few wise citizens saw the crash of the boom. Wichita, until 1887, indulged in a wild spurge of spending, building, and dealing on credit. Among those who saw the folly of this real estate boom in the 80s was Colonel Marsh Murdoch. Realizing that something must be done to stop the foolish speculation and to stabilize the financial transactions of the city. On February 24th, 1887, Colonel Marsh Murdoch wrote one of his most famous editorials, an editorial which stands today as a classic example of hard-hitting, realistic newspaper writing. And now we bring you that great editorial which helped to bring the people of Wichita to their senses and to stop the reckless speculation of the boom of the 80s. The title of the editorial was Call a Halt.
Call a halt. Wild and reckless speculation at expense of Wichita. As 9 men out of 10 concede that the Eagle's opinions and judgments touching Wichita have been universally correct and sound, even to the addition craze, we want again to say, and if possible, impress our people with the fact that wild speculation is not business, nor conducive to a healthy growth or to permanency. When men abandon legitimate trade to embark in a craze of any character, the end is not far off. No work, however well directed, no brain, however powerful or far-seeing, can avert the collapse that must follow an overstrained inflation. Now, the reason must hold sway. On the other hand, no city was ever more surely threatened with a burden that will crush and ruin if men don't stand by this reason and their experience. A word to the wise ought to be sufficient. But if a word is not enough, we are ready with columns, night and day, which will have a tendency to convert this fancy foolishness back into cornfields. And ready, as soon as the solid and conservative men in our midst shall say it is enough, and that they can no longer stand it. It is said that the expected never happens, and that the unexpected is sure to come to pass. But abnormal conditions and uncontrollable frenzies are unsafe. This state of affairs has largely been brought about by men not interested in the past or the future of Wichita. Oh, no. There are a large number of men who were bright. They were observant enough to see that here was going to be built the greatest city in Kansas, if not one of the greatest cities in the West. These men who have traveled about this world much, or at least enough to enable them to comprehend that here was a place of superior location, remarkable surroundings, glorious prospects, have and are simply banking on the foresight and the successful work of others, not caring for consequences further than for results in the shape of immediate cash return. So wild and extravagant have they become that some of our own businessmen who were prospering in the ordinary channels of trade have lost their heads and are ready for any folly. The Eagle can call a halt during the next few ensuing weeks, but the Eagle's call might reach too far, might do as much harm in the other direction as it would do good in this. But the wise, sensible, solid businessmen of this city can beat this game which threatens so much trouble simply by unitedly and unanimously discouraging the addition nonsense and by impressing everybody with its present foolishness and ultimate danger. Make no bones of telling every newcomer that money put in these faraway additions is money thrown away. Call a halt.
Shortly following the publication of this editorial, the boom stopped. Almost overnight, the bubble of false prosperity burst. And for a while, Wichita became a sad little town, its population decreasing by the hundreds. To some, it looked like the end of the city. But those who could see beyond the present saw a city that would boom to far greater heights, a city that would build its future prosperity on solid principles of finance. By 1892, the town was starting to look up, and the smile of optimism returned to the pioneer Wichita's face. The popular song of the year 1892 was Love's Dream After the Ball. Other thrilling stories published in the Eagle of 1892 is the account of the Dalton Boys. The Dalton Boys, who for 5 years had been the nation's ranking public enemies, were wiped out for the citizens of Coffeyville, Kansas.
And James J. Corbett won the heavyweight boxing title from John L. Sullivan in 21 rounds at New Orleans.
In 1893, the country took another slump. The Eagle reported a depression, a national panic, the 17th U.S. financial calamity since 1790. The Depression of 1893 lasted 2 years, but the faith of America was not shattered. In the year 1895, the glorious song America the Beautiful was written by Catherine Lee Bates. It was in this year of 1895 that the startling fact dawned upon the pioneers that the buffalo was rapidly vanishing from the face of the earth. There were now only 800 buffalo left in the entire United States, and a move was afoot to protect them from extinction.
What did Reese get to do?
I love my wife, but oh, you can't.
You're the one for me.
America was taking to bicycles. The streets of Wichita were gay with the sound of laughing cyclists. And the bicycle built for two was at the peak of its popularity. The year 1889 brought the war with Spain. To the stirring music of Hot Time in the Old Town Tonight, many young Wichitans marched off to fight in the same war that made Teddy Roosevelt and his Rough Riders national heroes. But America was at peace when the 20th century came rolling in. Wichita welcomed the new year and the new century with lusty cheers. Electric lights, streetcars, motion pictures, all of these were realities now. Not dreams, but realities. And in Wichita, Mr. A.S. Parks was scaring the daylights out of Wichitans and horses alike, for he was driving a brand new automobile, one of the first horseless carriages in Wichita. A minor riot occurred at Market Street as Mr. Parks drove his strange new contraption. A horse is flying.
Nellie! Whoa, Nellie! Don't get scared, Nellie! Whoa, Nellie! Whoa!
Look out!
Whoa, Nellie! Whoa! Whoa!
Yes, many a horse reared up and then raced wildly down the street. Many a livery stable owner and horse-loving individual prayed that the automobile would only turn out to be a fad. But they were doomed for disappointment. With the coming of the motor car, a new era of prosperity came to Wichita, and the Eagle campaigned for paved roads, another avenue of commerce open to the city. The farmer could come by train or by motor car. The age of the motor car was here. But soon Wichitans were to see an even greater age of mechanical wonder. Man was to realize his dream of flying through the air. It was the year 1911, in the month of May, and the first Wings Over Wichita appeared. The first week of May, 1911, offered great excitement to Wichitans, for the Eagle was printing breathtaking stories of daredevil birdmen who were to stage a three-day flying exhibition at Walnut Grove. Very few Wichitans had ever seen an airplane. The town had never known such excitement. Thousands came to Walnut Grove to see the birds.
Gee, think of it. Flying around like birds.
Well, it's all right, but it's just a show.
What?
Yeah, it's just a show. Nothing will ever come of it.
Oh, I don't know. One doesn't have to comment on that last statement, for Wichita's pioneers in aviation were already building planes, making plans for building planes in Wichita. And the Eagle looked forward to another new era of prosperity and advancement for the city it served. In a few more years, Wichita was to become the air capital of the world. Wichita, more than any other city, is today the result of faith and skillful planning for a glorious future, a place in the sun. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to a brief summary of the news stories published in the Wichita Eagle since 1872. During the past year, the Wichita Eagle has dramatized many stories of this city's progress. The back files of this great newspaper represent a rich storehouse of historical drama, the chronicle of a city's progress from cowtown to great metropolis. With this show, we ring down the curtain on this series of This is Wichita. If you would like to have the Eagle continue this series and present some of the interesting stories starting with the year 1900, a letter or card addressed to this station, KFH, will help us in deciding whether these shows have merited your approval. Every show played during the last year has been transcribed, and these transcriptions are available for schools wishing to use them in the teaching of history. There are stories of almost every phase of life in Wichita since the year 1872. Now just write to Station KFH if you wish to obtain one of these transcriptions to play for your school. They are offered free of charge, of course. And now the curtain falls on This is Wichita.